Have you ever been to one of those escape rooms? Raise your hand if you've been to an escape room. Come on, come on, come on. I really thought about turning the room into an escape room today, but no, then I realized that would be not good. That would just be very bad. So in case you don't know what an escape room is, basically they put a group of you into a room that's fairly small, and you have 1 hour to get out. Okay, that's the general idea of it. Now, there are clues all over the place on how to get out of the escape room. And literally, some of those clues are right in front of you, but because you don't have a certain knowledge or a certain understanding, you can't tell that it's a clue, and you can't figure it out. After a while of being in the room, you eventually get the general idea that there is a door that will let you out of this room somewhere that is not obvious. Okay? And you figure this out. I was in my room, you know, I'm looking on the floor, I'm touching it, everything, just like everybody else has done. Once you figure out where the door is, you realize that you have to follow the rest of the clues to actually get out of the door. There is a door, the door exists, but getting the door open is an entirely different story. Knowing where the door is one part of the challenge, but not the only part. In my particular a room that I did. I went with my family. There were 14 of us. It was my mom and dad, myself, my siblings, their spouses, and the kids. Everybody, mostly except for my wife. My wife exempts herself out of these activities because it drives her insane. All right? And here's why. Because 12 of the 14 people in the room are very intense. We are drivers and architect-type personalities, so we're all like, just go, go, go. And part of the challenge in that particular moment in an escape room is listening to the right voice, getting unified behind a single focused plan. Some of you are starting to understand where I'm going with this. So, how do you get the door open? And whose plan will you follow? How do you get the door open? And whose plan will you follow? In life, there are doors that you need to get open. And you have to decide whose plan will you follow. Jesus had a plan to opening up certain doors. It was this. We find it in Matthew chapter 7. He did not have an escape room in his mind when he said this. He had life in mind. He says this, keep on asking. Somebody say, keep on. You know what keep on means? It means more than once. More than twice. More than three times. Just keep on asking. You can ask 100 times a day if you want. He doesn't put a cap on it. Just keep on asking. Has it happened yet? Guess what? Keep on asking. I hear people all the time say, I'm just so sick. I don't want to ask. Okay, but Jesus said, keep on asking. Keep on asking. And you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking. Somebody say, keep on. Keep on seeking. That's more than once. You just keep on doing it. And you will find. Keep on knocking. Guess what? Keep on. And the door will be open to you. It doesn't say you will open the door. It says the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's also one of the more confusing ones. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? Just out of curiosity, has anybody ever given their kid a stone when they asked for bread? Like, okay, no, no, no. Unless you're trying to teach this Bible point. That would be awesome, by the way. Next time your kids are, here's a stone, buddy. Here's a stone. No, you don't. You don't, because that's ridiculous. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people, that's you, and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? It's kind of an interesting little passage where Jesus calls calls us all a bunch of knuckleheads, and you're like, yeah, you do the right thing, so God will too. God will do more than you can possibly imagine. Three quick things. Asking. It's the first direction. It's the first plan. Asking. What's up with the asking? Let me tell you what's up. Asking acknowledges that you are not God. Whenever you ask for something of anyone, you are acknowledging that you do not have the power or authority to get what they have to offer. They have to give it to you. So you are acknowledging that you are not them. So when you ask God for something, you are authentically acknowledging that He is God and you are not. By the way, that's really a good idea. Because you are not God. But most of your life, you've lived like you are. Do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, with whoever you want to do it. That's the kind of the mantra of our culture. Is that you're God, so you can just do whatever you want. Asking God acknowledges that you are not God. Asking also brings us to a place of humility that you can't do on your own. You can't do it on your own. You need help. You need somebody else's intervention. You are not the end all. You are not everything. But God is higher than you. It's a very important place of humility to ask God. Also, just to make sure you get this, asking is a free will act. It's something you choose to do. I can't make you ask. You have to ask of your own free will. It is the free will act of placing God on the throne of your life when you ask. It affirms that God is your Father, that you have a relationship with Him, that He is the kind of Father that you get to ask things of. The kind of Father that you can ask something of and recognize that He is a good Father and will give you a good thing in return. That makes asking extremely important. That's why you ask. Second thing he said was seeking. The second direction was seeking. This is this looking, you're seeking around for God's answer. So many people ask, but they forget to seek. They ask God, and then they don't look for His answer. And God's like, I gave you the answer like 50 times. You didn't look for it. You know? I don't know if He actually says it that way, but the looking for God's answer, it's like you're looking for the door. You're seeking for the door that God will provide, that God will open up. And let me help you get this today. When you have a need in your life and you are looking for a door, you will find thousands of false doors. There are false doors everywhere in life. Some of those false doors you've gone through, and it messes everything up. You can, if you have a need and you decide to go find the answer to that need, you will find a thousand different doors. Every different kind of philosophy, every different kind of world system, every different kind of book, every different kind of YouTube video. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff. And you have to look for God's door. The third thing is the knocking. The knocking is this part where you recognize that you have asked, that you have been looking. You have the door, now you are knocking on God's door. You're doing this through prayer is what you're doing. And you're knocking on the door like the house is on fire and you're getting somebody out, right? You're knocking on the door like it's a UPS driver at Christmas time, all right? Boom, 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 you don't got time, you're just knocking away. Somebody come and answer this door right now! Because that kind of knocking, that kind of intensity in your prayer, not the loud part of it, but the intense part of it, the aggressive nature of your prayers, however that works for you. And then actually it says the door will be opened. And God will be opening it for you. The door is that thing you are asking for. The door is what you are seeking. The door is what you are knocking on. And that is the door that you are inviting God to open up for you to go through in your life. So let me pause here for a moment and ask you just to reflect. Is there a door that you need to invite God to open? Just think about that. Is there a door in your life right now, in your situations, your circumstances, that you really need God to open? And if the answer to that is yes, then it's time to pray, to ask, to seek, and to knock. A about that. And to keep on doing it. Not just once, but just keep on. Keep on. Now, in the realm of prayer, I'm about to give you some information that I've not taught you before directly. I've taught it to you indirectly and through some of our spiritual warfare thinking. Pay close attention so that you can capture this and understand it. It starts off with this one idea that God is always doing all that God can do. God is always doing all that God can do. And this is why God is always doing all he can do. God has bound himself to work within the variable conditions of free will. Somebody say free will. Free will. So free will is this thing. Some of you think it's awesome and some of you don't. Some of you would just love it if God would just do everything. But that's not the world we live in. You have free will, which means you can choose to love or to hate, to do good or to do evil. It is entirely your free will act that you get to do this with. In the way that this world has been created, God operates within those bounds along with you. Within this free will framework, there is one major variable. There is one thing that jumps into our free will scenarios, and that is called prayer. Prayer. It's the one variable in this situation. This is one of the major weapons and instruments of change that God gives to us. God gives us this weapon. God gives us this instrument of change called prayer. The question you have to ask is why? Somebody say why. Why? I'm so happy you asked. So the question, why? Now, this other part you may not have owned yet in your life, and I want to help you own this today. The reason why is because God wants you and me to be co-rulers with him on earth. Co-rulers. You know what that means? Like kings and queens. On the way out, you can get a crown. Right? You get crowns. We should have got a bunch of Burger King crowns or something and passed those out. You know, so I didn't. Yeah. And you're like, what? I don't feel like a co-ruler. I didn't know I was a king or a queen. Let me show you. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, this is talking about Jesus, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Every place. And you have caused them, the them in this passage is you, okay? You are the them. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests. That means you're a kingdom of priests. You and me. Everybody that follows Jesus, you are a kingdom of priests for our God. And they, also meaning you, and they will reign on the earth. Not like this kind of rain. Not this kind of rain. But rulers. Am I allowed to do that? I hope I am. If I'm not, I won't. Sorry. They will reign on the earth. And you will rule on the earth. I'm not talking about political authority here. It's not what it means. It means true authority. And you will do this in a co-rulership with Christ. So in the scripture, we learn that the church, or those that follow Jesus, are the bride of Christ. And so the bride of Christ co-rules with Christ on the earth. So prayer is the major thing that we do when we are co-ruling. It's how we change things. It's how we cause things to become. It's through prayer. God has set up things such that to some degree, His will, the will of God, shall not be done. Shall not be done except when we align our will with God's will in prayer. So if we do not align our will with God's will in prayer, God's will not be done in the situations on this earth. Since God is all good, God is always doing the most that He can do to maximize the good and minimize the evil, but God's involvement in the world is genuinely conditioned by the prayers of His people. So God can't do certain things unless we pray. When we pray, God can do more than He was doing previously. Not because He's gained power. He has all the power. It's about God creating a world in which His agents, us, genuinely share power and responsibility with Him. It's about genuine free will. It's about the genuine power and responsibilities that we have. That's why prayer is so important, because it's a real responsibility. This by necessity means that if you want something to change, get yourself into alignment with the Word of God, pray like you mean it, because if you don't, it won't happen. Prayer changes things because that is the tool that God gave us to ask and to seek and to knock. That means that 100% of the prayers that you do not pray, they will not get answered. When you leave this building today, if you truly understand this, you will begin to understand that every chaotic situation that you see outside of this building, every chaotic situation that you experience in your life, you are a co-regent, a viceroy, a co-ruler. That means you and God rule over that situation. And God has authorized you, God has anointed you, and God has empowered you by His Spirit to invite the perfect will of God into every chaotic situation in your life. If you truly understand this, you will discover yourself asking, seeking, and knocking in every situation all the time. If we truly understand this, we can change whole cities, one person at a time, one situation at a time. There's something very special about prayer. As the worship team comes up, in the book of Mark, chapter 9, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, He rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. I love that last part, never enter him again. Some of you have been delivered, but you've had to be redelivered. Then the spirit screamed and threw that boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? And Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Only by prayer. Friends, there is something that we do in prayer that is special. There's something that we do when we pray that releases. There's something that allows. There's something that we do in prayer that ignites change, that defeats the enemy. There's something that we do in prayer that defends the oppressed, that rebukes the devil and his agents, that heals the sick, and tears down strongholds. 2 Corinthians says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. What is that weapon? It's prayer. Now listen, you don't have to understand fully how this works. You don't have to. You don't even need to understand all the reasons why it works. But you do need to understand that it does work. The more you pray, the more you invite the will of God into the situations of life, the more you invite the Holy Spirit to intervene, the better it will be. Prayer is in part communication. And if you didn't know this, communication is a skill. And the more you do it, the better you become. So I challenge you today, just start. Just start inviting God into those situations. So we've intentionally left a few extra minutes today in the service just so we can pray. And I want us to do something here today, and I want us to pray for those of you in the room that are in real need of a miracle from God because you are sick. Maybe you have cancer, maybe you have a disease, maybe you are really sick and you need God to heal you. There's a ton of people in the first service. Is there anybody in this service today that you just raise your hand and say, I would like God to heal me? Just raise your hand. Okay, keep it up. All right, a lot more in this service. So those of you that just raised your hand, listen. If you are willing to let us pray for you, if you are willing to let us pray for you and ask that God would heal you, we're going to have people gather around you and pray for you. So if you're willing to let us do that, would you just stand up right now? Just go ahead, stand up. So I'm going to continue to give some instruction. The rest of you, if you're a lady, please go pray for a lady. If you're a man, please go pray for a man. So I'm gonna lead you in what to do. So everybody in the room, go find somebody to pray with right now. Somebody that's standing, you're gonna go pray. We're gonna ask God to heal him. Go ahead, move. I know we don't do it this way normally, so take a minute. If you're scared, just go ahead. Go find somebody. Got people up on my left. Yeah, here we go, right here. Okay, if there's anybody in the back that's a guy, we got more guys over here. Now, everybody look at me before you start praying. The scripture says that you are authorized to do this. You have permission to do this. Everybody that follows Jesus has permission to pray for the sick and to see them healed. Everybody. The scripture also says that you have been anointed by God to do this. Finally, it says that because of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are empowered to do this. You don't just have permission to, but you have the capacity to. So right now, I want you to pray for these individuals. Let's join together, pray out loud, and ask God to heal them. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, right now. Jesus. We're going to continue to pray now. Right now in this room. I've never been to a church like East Coast International Church in my life. For real. One of the reasons is because over 60% of our adults are in recovery. So if you're like, really? That's like everybody? It's true. A lot of people. So there's something that really differentiates us from AA, and that's that we believe that people can move from sobriety to freedom. And so we're good with sobriety. That's great. So that's really good. So that's keep doing that. But we believe that God sets people free, that He delivers people supernaturally in ways that we cannot understand. Purely the Spirit of God does it. And
So across this room right now, if you are willing, if you are willing to ask the perfect will of God to set you free, if you are willing to ask God to set you free, we don't need to know all your stuff. It's between you and God. If you are willing to ask, to seek, to knock, God to set you free, there's two things that I want to have happen. One, I want you to raise your hand. Okay, go ahead, raise your hand now. It's fine. Go ahead, raise your hand. Now, everybody else, get around these people and pray that God will set them free. Go ahead, right now. Go pray for somebody to be free. Friends, if you've never been bound up in this stuff, you don't know. You don't know that you feel like you're drowning every second of the day. You need somebody to rescue you. And so go, if somebody's raising their hand right now, I want you to go over and I want you to begin to pray that God would deliver them, that God would set them free, that God do a transformative work from the inside out. Go ahead, begin to pray right now. Go ahead, begin to pray. Lift your voices, lift your voices. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To those of you that have let us pray for you, I want to say thank you. And I want you to keep on asking. And I want you to keep on seeking. And I want you to keep on knocking. And I want you to keep on getting other people to ask and seek and knock with you. You are co-rulers with Christ. As a result, you get to invite the perfect will of God into every situation. Every situation. You have been appointed by God Himself to do this. You have been anointed and you have been empowered. Go out this week. Go out this life. And pray that kind of authority. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. Amen. Amen. Amen.